first of all, using ecstasy or using MDMA to treat PTSD, how exactly does this work?
Well, MDMA has the unique properties of creating a sense of empathy with the clinical staff of the client, whilst it also creates an emotional openness among the client that allows the person to reprocess the traumatic event within this window of tolerance which is necessary to work with people with PTSD, and they do so without fear or shame. It seems to be a catalyst for the psychotherapeutic process.
Mm. So very much the same reason people might be taking it for for non-medical reasons. This isn't just a side effect. This is really the same sort of reasoning being used to treat it as a medical aid.
Absolutely. In the same sense, I think it's important to probably distinguish between ecstasy and MDMA. Mm-hmm. So ecstasy is what people are using recreationally, and it may or not contain MDMA. And there's a potential danger that it may contain a high dose of MDMA. And I guess distinguishing them between using it in a clinical setting versus recreational use. Where they have conducted studies looking at the toxicity of MDMA among animals, they've often given significantly greater amounts than even your most seasoned raver would take, and none of the participants that have completed the study to date have experienced any serious adverse effects. One person in an early study got a bit anxious and was given a sedative, though since then they've reduced the dose that's been used in the studies.
Mm. So how much research has actually gone into this, the use of MDMA to treat psychological symptoms and psychological patients?
Well, really, it all started in the 1970s when it was being used to enhance couples counselling and also address trauma. Unfortunately, the euphoric effects that you sort of described were noted more broadly in the general community, and it became popular in nightclubs. And as a response to that, the US Drug Enforcement Agency sought to ban it in 1984. There were hearings conducted between March and December 1985. And despite the judge ruling that MDMA be classed as Schedule 3 medicine, with psychiatrists and psychologists providing significant testimony, the DEA didn't take this advice and made the drug illegal, placing it in Schedule 1, the same class as heroin. Research has really only recommenced into the therapeutic benefits of MDMA this century, and it's been primarily being driven by an organisation called MAPS, the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. Their studies have only included participants who have not responded to at least two conventional treatments of PTSD. Their first study showed that 86% of participants no longer met criteria for PTSD at the end of the trial, and there's since been further studies carried out in the US in addition to Switzerland. One in Canada has been completed. There's one in Israel that's underway. A study in the US is about to commence, looking at people with substance use disorders that have a history of trauma. And really what they've done is they've pulled this data together to demonstrate how much of a significant therapeutic benefit it has for PTSD, and that's how they've been able to move forward with these larger scale phase 3 trials in the US.
Mm. But similar trials have actually been blocked. Efforts to create similar trials here in Australia have actually been blocked. So why is there a resistance here?
Well, look, I'm Vice President of Psychedelic Research in Science and Medicine. PRISM is Australia's first and only not-for-profit organisation with our mission to initiate, fund and facilitate psychedelic research in Australia. And we incorporated in 2011 and developed a protocol with the assistance of the US experts that aim to treat war veterans with PTSD. And as you say, we haven't been able to get this study approved. Why? I think it's partly academic conservatism. We've twice submitted the study, most recently to a university based in Melbourne that I won't name. The head of the university rejected the proposal outright. Australia's a small country and there's limited funding from the government, and almost all the funding that's provided to investigate illegal drugs is for research that demonstrates how dangerous these illegal drugs are. I sometimes wonder that some researchers are scared that if they support this research, it may impact their funding. In addition to that, there's psychologists and psychiatrists in Australia that have a vested interest in maintaining the status of current psychotherapies. And while they may, while they cure some people, they don't work for everyone. And at the moment, if people don't respond, then the second line treatment is usually an antidepressant, which reduces the symptoms somewhat, but it's like putting a Band-Aid on a wound that needs stitches. And the person has to take this drug for the rest of their life. With MDMA-assisted psychotherapy, the person only takes the drug 3 times in the presence of clinically trained staff, and it provides a cure for many people who have not responded to other treatments. We also aren't really getting a lot of support from pharmaceutical companies. One, because I would think they would prefer people to be taking a drug every day than taking a drug that cures their ailment. And in addition to this, MDMA can't be patented. So, you know, there's not big money to be made by conducting trials for pharmaceutical companies to be conducting trials into MDMA.
Mm. Well, obviously, with any of these kind of treatments, we want to be looking at treating the core issue rather than, as you say, bandaging over the symptoms. Steve, do appreciate your time. Do appreciate you joining us on the Daily Program this morning, and maybe best of luck with pursuing this one in future.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, our absolute pleasure.